Welcome to the Parent Equation Podcast with me, Aisha Murray. This podcast series is full of inspiring stories from working parents who are passionate about designing a life that works for them and their families. Working parents like you who want a purposeful, rewarding career alongside a balanced family life. Today, I'm joined by Jane Johnson. Jane is the founder of Careering Into Motherhood. And if you haven't heard of that before, I'd be very surprised, any of my listeners. But for those who haven't, Jane, just give me a very quick synopsis about you, your journey, and what Careering Into Motherhood is all about. What's its mission?
Yes, well, thank you very much for having me on your podcast today. I'm delighted to be here. So I set up Careering Into Motherhood. It began as an online community, and it started as a Facebook group. I was at the time running a recruitment business, which I had set up to help women find flexible roles in sort of mid-level and senior level management. But I was inundated, as you'd imagine, I'm sure lots of your listeners will identify with the fact, I was inundated with candidates, not so much with clients. And I just knew that I was never going to be able to help everyone find a job. So I felt really bad about turning away the very women I had set up to try and help. And I was just talking with a friend, and she is in marketing, and she started talking about this idea of online communities. So I set up a Facebook group, never having used Facebook before in my life. And it was just an idea that I could say, look, I'm not going to be able to help you find a role, but go and join this community where other women are supporting other women, and people are signposting jobs or just asking for advice, and just being a supportive shoulder, if you like. And that was 5 years ago now, almost to the day. And that community has grown steadily, and we're now 10,000 members in the Facebook group. And at the start of last year, we launched a kind of partnership with coaches, a range of coaches, life coaches, career coaches, whatever else, well-being and so on. The idea being that I was seeing the same kinds of issues coming up in the Facebook community, where people were really asking for some help and advice. And there were, obviously, there are a number of career coaches, highly qualified experts there, able to offer this kind of support and advice. So we created that partnership. So effectively, we're community and coaching. Those are the things that we offer.
And it sounds like, I think, is sometimes behind the success of many businesses, you started just with a passion for wanting to bring women together and wanting to create a platform where women could support each other, which obviously they are doing very readily. But it sounds like it wasn't potentially some sort of huge business plan behind it initially. It was a passion. It was a noticing a need for this. And it's now grown, obviously through years of hard work on your part and many others, but it's grown into this thriving community of 10,000 plus women, of obviously the coaching network, of other things coming down the pipeline. So I suppose for people listening who are potentially thinking about, can I do something differently? Can I leave my career and start something else? What would your piece of advice be, given where you started?
My advice would be, yes, absolutely, you can do it. But be prepared for your end goal, if you like, or your end business to look nothing like what you anticipate right now. And be flexible. That's the thing. Listen to feedback. Listen to what your clients or customers or community, listen to what they want. And the other thing, I think often when people start in business, they think, I've got this great idea, but I don't want to tell anyone because in case somebody else pinches it. I can tell you, as you just said, that, you know, we are 5 years later. This is the iteration of the business, which is, you know, touch wood, going okay. And I have only been able to get to this point by telling people about it and getting input. It takes so long and so much hard work to build a successful business. There is no way that somebody's going to listen to your idea and go, hey, I'm going to snap that up and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to beat them to it. So I, you know, this old fashioned idea, you know, patenting and copywriting, of course, if you're in that kind of knowledge business. But on the whole, if you're starting a small business, talk to people, get input, get advice. I mean, I started, in all honesty, I started, as I say, running a recruitment business, which previous to that had actually going to be, was actually going to be a communications agency staffed by mums who worked flexibly, because I had been in PR and comms for about 20 odd years when I had my son. I was very fortunate. I went back and negotiated a job share. But I'd done that for kind of a year. And then I was looking around and thinking about what next. And every one of the recruiters that I spoke to, as soon as I said, I need some kind of flexibility, because my son at the time was probably 18 months old. Mm. They were just like, oh, okay. And the phone went very quiet and the calls dried up. And I just started looking around thinking, goodness, how wrong that was, and how many women I had known, really talented women, who had left the world of PR and comms and either done something totally different or gone freelance. And with that, they're obviously leaving their organizations and taking with them loads of knowledge, you know, productivity, all those kind of things drop off when somebody leaves an organization. And I also knew that I was working for a global bank, and I knew how well set up international organizations are to be able to work with people across different time zones. We have people in the Middle East who are working different weekends and so on. But recruiters were not putting those people forwards. And so initially I thought, well, I know loads of women, brilliant women, I can work, you know, we'll go and find clients and we'll work like that. And even then I'd started with this idea of one thing. And when I started to talk to clients, large employers, they would say to me, well, actually, we don't want another agency on our books. We're covered there. But we are looking for someone to come and do, you know, this job in-house. And we're prepared to offer flexibility. So if you happen to know anyone. And I just kind of fell into recruitment that way. And then, as I've described, you know, the journey from there into setting up the community. So very long answer to your question, but just be prepared to, I guess, ride the waves, ride the winds, and listen to those headwinds.
Mm. And your personal experience then of having a young child and facing these challenges, what was the tipping point? Because a lot of us, we go along with the careers we know, sometimes love, sometimes don't love so much, go along because that's what we know. And for whatever reason, we decide we'll just keep going, even with the kids, young kids, and just sort of see what happens. What was a tipping point for you that made you think, actually, no, this is something needs to change here now as a working mum, leading you to, initially with the recruitment, but leading you to start something of your own?
I don't know. There are two things, I think, for me, two really key points in my career since becoming a mother. Firstly, I struggled with quite bad postnatal anxiety, really bad, actually, quite crippling. And at the time, I didn't really know what it was. I thought, I'm 40 and my life's in control. I should be able to handle this. And I didn't really, you know, have a name for it. And thankfully, there was one amazing health work, you know, where you go and weigh in your baby. And every time she'd say to me, how are you doing? And I'd just burst into tears, and she just kept pushing and pushing, and she eventually, you know, she gave me the support that I really needed. And I went back to work when my son was only 8 months old, but it was a turning point for me in getting a grip on that anxiety. I suddenly felt like I needed to be back at work. I needed to be doing something else other than, you know, changing nappies and feeding. And absolutely, you know, amazing credit to all the women who love that part of, you know, of the maternity journey. For me, I didn't. And so going back to work was really, really important to me, which I didn't know at the time. I thought, how on earth can I do this? But going back was really important. So I realized that I wanted to have a career around motherhood. It was figuring out how I did that. And as I say, I did that job share initially, which was great. But I was constantly on a knife edge. And I know we've talked about the same with you, Aisha, that, you know, I was going from one side of the London to the other. I was getting up at ridiculous o'clock to get in really early so I could leave really early and come back and, you know, be there to be able to put him to bed and so on. And I just thought, I can't keep doing this. I need to either find something slightly closer to home, or just change careers altogether. So I think those were the two things really that I just felt I can't keep doing this. It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. And what I heard there also is when you said about going back to work when he was 8 months old, you said, and obviously those who choose not to is fine too. Choice, everyone has their own personal choices. Yeah. But there's always guilt somewhere. So there's guilt if you go back to work too early. Should I be an expectation and judgment potentially? Should I be going back to work when they're less than a year old? What will people think? I feel guilty about leaving them. There's guilt if you stay at home for too long.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be going back to work. Maybe I should be looking for a career. Maybe I shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And it just seems that there's never a, maybe it's a sort of our own self-judgment. Mm. We never just give ourselves a break regardless of the choices we're making.
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? So I have had that guilt thing, and to the point where the first day when I went back, as I say, he was so young still, I felt, but I knew I needed to do it. But I got on that train. I live in Southwest London. I was heading over to Canary Wharf in Southeast. I remember getting on the train and thinking, oh my God, I can't do this. I need to get off at the next stop. And literally, it was like one stop away. I was like, yeah, I need to get off. I can't do this. But something in me thought, no, carry on. And I can honestly tell you, I stepped over. I remember stepping over the threshold going into the tower in Canary Wharf. And I just felt like I was, sounds really cliche, but I felt like I was back. I felt like I was back to me being who I was. All of a sudden, you know, I couldn't be there. It was a cliche again, but you know, I could actually go to the loo with the door closed. So I could finish a warm coffee. I could have conversations about things where I felt really in control and comfortable, which I perhaps hadn't. I didn't. It's so early on in my motherhood journey. Mm. But genuinely, I think, and probably because what I do now and what I have done since I started my own thing is kind of driven by this social platform, and I feel so passionately that things have to change, that I don't really have that guilt anymore. I know that what I'm doing is right for me, for us. I'm very fortunate, obviously, because I, you know, having running my own thing means that if I need to pull the ripcord on an afternoon because I have to go and collect him or need to do something, then I can do that largely. So maybe there's an element of that, but I think it's good for him to know that I am working, that you know, I'm doing this for a reason, and it's good for me. I feel I'm a better parent because of what I'm doing work-wise. So in all honesty, I don't have this huge guilt anymore.
Yeah. I think that's what it comes from. It comes from knowing you have quite a clear purpose, and knowing what you're doing is serving other people, and you're giving something back and getting a lot back from it yourself, obviously, and being the best role model you can be to your son, for, you know, any sort of anyone working. Are you being the best role model you can be? And I always ask this about many of my guests, when your son looks back, when he's a kind of young adult or adult, looks back at his childhood and his mum running a successful business and, you know, adding a load of value to tons of women, what do you hope he will say?
I hope he won't say, I wish he'd been around to play more Lego with me. what will he say? I don't know. I mean, of course, yes, you know, I'd love the business to continue growing and become, you know, really successful. We're starting to talk to corporates about our coaching offer and you know, going in and helping with any sort of element of parental transition and that kind of thing. So I don't, you know, it's an interesting question, Aisha, because I probably don't think about what he will say. It's more in 10 years time, because it is a huge struggle fitting all of this in, and I have, you know, really supportive husband who we co-share a lot of the parenting responsibility and, you know, all of that side of things. But I still feel there are no bones about it. I still feel incredibly stressed, incredibly stretched. I mean, in all honesty, I was working until 1 o'clock last night. But I feel those are kind of the balls that I choose to juggle because I structure my life in this way. So I hope more, other than what he will say, I hope more that I will say it it has been worth it. And, you know, we've been able to build a family life and a career that worked for everybody.
Mm. Yeah, I think, well, he'd definitely say that. He'd definitely say that. And there's no question it's going to carry on being a success. We talked a bit briefly before we came on air about those working patterns and what you're seeing with the women in the community, with what coaches are telling you, with the conversations you're having every day with various people who have this at the top of their agendas. And we talked about this sort of flexible working being obviously something we're all striving for in theory, but actually maybe there's a lot more than just the flexible working challenge to solve. And if we get flexible working from our employers, obviously it's a great thing, but it might not be the sort of magic, what's the word, silver bullet, whatever it is, that's going to solve all of our problems. And I know that you've got quite a few insights into that and the sort of work you've been doing.
Yes, it's really interesting. I think the pandemic proved that the old traditional ways of working no longer worked for the majority of employees, which is proven by the fact that, you know, people are not racing back to the office 5 days a week, that companies, huge conglomerates, are moving to more flexible working patterns, to hybrid working. That has not, that's not simple. That's not simple to implement, and it's not simple to legislate for either across the board. And we did some research at the back end of last year in November and December, where we were trying to understand more about the challenges that working mothers in particular face right now. And interestingly, so we had, you know, over 2,000 responses, and interestingly, 62% of people who responded to the survey said that they had asked for flexible working and had been granted a degree of flexibility. But when you overlay that with the additional statistic that a large proportion of people believed that asking for flexible working had then negatively impacted their chance of a promotion. So that was 46% of those who had been granted it said they felt it had negatively impacted their promotional chances, and 17% said they were not sure. So only 37% said no. And we've got some quite shocking kind of verbatim comments that came out of this research around what employers or managers are kind of, how they are making their employees feel, their flexible working employees feel. And I think that's where we need to kind of unpick things a little bit. So there is clearly a huge stigma still around flexible working. I think a lot of line managers or recruiters or employers feel as though they are kind of low paid jobs because there are question marks around commitment, there are question marks around commitment to a career, and so on. And that's where I feel that we have an opportunity to kind of flip this debate. It is clear, so this is where the two things don't match up. So it's clear that the old ways of working are not working for the majority. I'm not just talking about women, I'm certainly not just talking about mums. So people want change, but yet when we get the flexibility, or when employers give us flexibility, they are not then seeing us as high potential growth employees. So there's a mismatch there, right? Which can be addressed. I really think this is where actually we could flip the debate and say women right now have a huge opportunity to be at the forefront of leading a new way of working, of going out and building careers, building companies, leading companies, starting their own businesses that are designed for the way that we work today. Because again, all the data shows that when women go and do that, our workforces are naturally more inclusive for other marginalized communities as well. And so I would like to encourage anyone who's listening to this, especially if you're thinking of starting your own business, to do it around kind of working patterns and do it around the way that you want to work, because there is an opportunity now. You know, with on 24/7 with our phones. I won't tell you how many hours a day Apple tells me I'm on my phone, because it's that I do everything. I'm not just surfing looking for you know, clothes and things. I do everything on there. And so who's to say that 9 till 5 or 9 till 6 or 8 till 7 is enough? You know, you build a career, you build a job around the way you want to work, and then you will naturally, you know, we recently did some recruitment, and I have somebody who's based, I've never even met her face to face, but we do everything by Zoom. I have a brilliant lady, a Ukrainian refugee who works for me, and she's just moved back to Poland. And so we, you know, I think therefore I am genuinely walking the talk in terms of building an inclusive workforce that works around people's lives today. So I think that's where we need to be careful when we're talking about flexible working. Make sure, if you're asking for flexible working, make sure you feel that the culture of that organisation is there to support you with that.
And you're absolutely right. What you said earlier, when global companies manage, have done for years, manage time zones, and my husband's a classic example of this. He's based in London. One of his team is in America, one's in the Philippines, one's in Germany, one's in Holland.
Yeah,
literally every single member of that team are in a different country.
Exactly.
And they all manage, because they manage their time zones, and they manage their meetings, and they sometimes, occasionally, one will work late, one will work early, just to accommodate each other. And but it all eventually sort of nets out evenly.
Exactly.
So why then is that philosophy not applied to parents? Because it's exactly the same, it appears, logistically.
Yeah.
Working patterns are different, so let's work around it. But there's something about this sort of, maybe as you say, this sort of stigma of being a working parent asking for flexible working that gives this impression that we are therefore not as committed or not as ambitious or whatever it is, which is obviously complete insert word here.
Well, actually, it's quite interesting. We had one of the questions within the survey was around your level of ambition, and it's almost two-thirds, so I think it was two-thirds or so of the respondents had said that their ambition, level of ambition, had either increased or remained the same since having children. So this whole idea of, oh, once you have children, that you just want to kind of take a back seat. I mean, of course, there are periods you know, during your parental journey where you may need to, but this sort of very stereotypical idea that women, once they have children, you know, they go off their career track, it's entirely untrue.
I think the sort of the act of parenthood, the moment of parenthood, is a catalyst for everybody to reevaluate their lives, their values, their beliefs, what's important to them, what their future might hold. And then your choice is made as a result of that maybe subconscious re-evaluation. And you may choose to not go back to work, you may choose to do something else, you may choose to, all kinds of different things will come out of that process. So the fact you're in a process of evaluation and thinking about what is right for me surely is ambitious in itself. It's, you know, it's conscious and it's purposeful and it's intentional, which again doesn't link to the sort of possible thoughts that people who have children or parents who are going back to work are less committed. And if anything, every single parent is in a period of recommitment to something, whatever that might be.
It's so true. And I saw on LinkedIn last week, somebody had put, it was a man who had put on his LinkedIn kind of, you know, experience, he'd actually outlined that he had taken 3 months off to be, you know, a father, to do the paternity leave, and so that his wife could go back and step forwards in her career. Which, number one, I thought was really powerful, and we need more kind of male allies like that, putting it out there that they are taking time out to be fathers. But during that, he'd actually done a mini presentation, which he'd included on his profile on LinkedIn, which said what he learned as a result of that, the skills he'd learned. But it also gave a snapshot of his day. And it was just mind-blowing. For me, it was almost 9 years ago. But, you know, every half hour from literally 6 a.m. till 7 or 8 p.m., there was something else. There was we all know what's involved. But there is not a single job out there, even the CEO of the biggest firm in the world, where you are constantly, constantly on. And you're running from one project to another, trying to communicate with people who don't speak your language, who don't want to do what you want them to do, and so on. So all of those things are highly employable skills. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's all well and good us sitting here and obviously agreeing about the value that being a parent adds to your ability as an employee. But I think it's how do we start to change those old-fashioned views of employers and hiring managers?
Mm. It's something actually I'm looking into. I keep procrastinating, which is a terrible thing for a coach to say she's doing. But I am going to launch the sort of spin-off of this podcast, which I've had in the pipeline for months, called Culture Shift. Oh. Imagine Culture Shift, where I'm going to be talking to the working parent leads. Mm-hmm. Of big corporates. I've already got quite a few lined up. I mean, John Lewis has obviously been on here before talking about their working parent network, to hopefully highlight companies and employers who aren't just, it's not just lip service. They are not just giving flexible working, et cetera, but the culture is changing. Yeah. And they're supporting those parents in the right way, mm. rather than just a piece of paper. They're supporting them day to day. So that culture shift is happening, mm. but slowly. So hopefully I want to try and give them a voice as well, sort of to show other people that this is absolutely possible.
Yes.
To really invest in your parents. It just needs to be done across the board so that your statistics next time you do that research will hopefully improve.
Hopefully, yes. Yeah, I think it's a brilliant idea, Aisha. Really great idea, because it's, you know, I think also there's a lot of maybe fear is the wrong word, but, you know, that's that sense of, oh, if we as a company, you know, go and do this, you know, well, what about other communities? If we support parents, will, you know, how, what will we say? Will we get judged across the coals, you know, from a PR perspective? And also not really knowing what is out there and not really knowing what other companies are doing. I mean, nearly all organisations, as you'll know, nearly all organisations have a kind of parental network, but that's, you know, that's setting up a few meetings and, you know, putting a small budget behind it. And a lot of the conversations we have with companies, it's getting them to see that in order to do anything properly, and as you say, a culture change or a culture shift, as you would any other change program, it needs budget behind it. It needs buy-in from all levels. It's not just putting some biscuits on a plate and getting the speaker in every couple of months.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, it'd be an amazing idea. Really good.
Yeah. And then I was thinking when you were talking earlier about the presentation that chap did on LinkedIn, do you think also there's an argument that women, potentially more than men, don't PR themselves enough? So the skills we talk about as parents, which are absolutely transferable, as you say, is there, I suppose, something that we need to do as women and building our confidence in being able to actually say, I've got real value to add now as a parent to this company, to either the role I was in or to a new company, and having the confidence to say that and to believe it in the first place. And then to be able to go to someone and say, this is why you should employ me. I'm not sure whether we, certainly clients I have, is why I have so many coaching clients, because it's usually the same issue of not feeling that they have that self-belief.
But I think it's usually come from either an experience you've had yourself or an experience you know somebody else has had. So it's all well and good to say, oh, but we should be better at XYZ. We should be better at PRing ourselves. That's really hard when you are working for an organization that just doesn't value you. I mean, I once had a boss who said to me, he used to call it shirking from home. And he'd said, I see shirking from home as just an excuse to do the washing and watch Jeremy Kyle. I mean, that's literally what he said. And, you know, if you've had that kind of experience, you're not going to feel rhino hide skin when you go into an interview and say, oh, by the way, can I, you know, you want that job, and you say, oh, but you know, what are flexible working policies here and so on. So this is where I come back to, yes, by all means, if you feel you know, very gung-ho, if you feel very strongly that you can be as overt as the chap on LinkedIn about your time as a mother, I think we need to be more confident in ourselves, in the skills that parenthood develops in us, and I think we need to put those as employable skills. But I also come back to this thing that it takes so much energy and so much effort to keep knocking on doors of traditional employers and saying, but have you not seen the data? But did you not realize how, you know, employable I am? Did you not realize how many skills I learned? Actually, if you're sick of doing that, like I am, go and join. Find companies that are, you know, startups that are more forward thinking. Find, you know, go and, if you can, start your own thing, start small and start it. But or build your network of other like-minded women that believe in you and that can support you. Because otherwise, I think we're just going to be here until forevermore trying to convince people who are just unconvincible.
Yeah, I bet that is the thing, isn't it? Why should we have to PR ourselves in the first place?
Exactly.
Why can't it just be an accepted norm?
Yes.
That, you know, we are employable and we've got a lot of value and flexible working is fine. And yeah, so why are these? I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? That's the long game.
Yes. Yeah.
This just became making the cultural norm, I suppose, which maybe the podcast will help with. And then where do you see, I suppose, the future of careering into motherhood going? I mean, obviously, talk about corporates, but is the crux of it still, the important part of it still, the community and those women coming together?
Absolutely. I mean, we will always have the online community. I think, that's not really anything to do with me. I'm very fortunate. We have some amazing moderators who volunteer their time every day, and just the strength of feeling around what we are trying to do. And I should say, because I know obviously your podcast is focused on parents, both, you know, all genders. And I often get leveled that the question at me is, why are you just about mothers? Why are you just about women? Surely we need to have everybody at the table in order to solve this problem. And I, you know, to that, I always say we are about focusing on helping women to have, and that's all women, to have access to the same career opportunities as the majority of men. Now, not all men at all, but that's our focus. Now, because of the size of our community and the, you know, the diversity within that, we could never pretend to even tell just out the women in our community how they should design or go and live their lives or anything like that. But what I want to do with my single focus is on empowering women to be able to go and have the conversations they need to have with whoever they need to have, whether that's at the dinner table with their partners, whether that's, you know, with their employers, whether that's with recruiters. It's about having that confidence and feeling empowered to be able to go and have those conversations. Like you say, if you want to ask for flexible working, don't be shy about it, ask for it, but you need the empowerment to be able to do that. So yes, absolutely, the community aspect will always be a really integral part of what we do. We will always be focused on women, and you know, we're starting to look at the US market because there is, you know, I think if anything, the challenges are possibly even greater for women in the US, where there are so few laws to protect your employment status or employment rights. There is next to nothing for parental leave or maternity leave. And so the kind of conversations that we are having and the kind of content that we put out from our coaches, I think could be really helpful over there. But I mean, that's a kind of long-term plan for careering into motherhood. We've got plenty more we can do and need to be doing here first.
Yeah, and I've had quite a few American guests on over the last couple of years. So the stories are real.
Yes.
The challenges they have over there are very real.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to be done there as well.
Yeah.
So absolutely sharing the insights and the learnings from here.
Yes. I mean, I read a statistic the other day, which was absolutely shocking, around the biggest cause of debt in the US for parents is childcare. So they're not going out buying fancy cars. Mm. They are literally taking on debt in order to be able to keep working and pay for childcare, which, I mean, that's shocking.
Yeah. So, Jane, thank you so much for coming on today. This, we could probably talk about this subject for many, many hours.
Yeah.
plenty to talk about in this topic. But for those people who would want to find out more about the community, Community Motherhood, and what you offer, and also you generally, where's the best place to find you?
Probably in the first instance, our website, which is just www.careeringintomotherhood.com. And of course, if you are on Facebook, then feel free to find the group and join us over there.
Great. Thank you so much, Jane. Thank you so much.
Keep
doing what you're doing. The impact it's having is quite phenomenal on all these women who need support and need to support each other. So thank you for that too.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. To work with me, find out more at aishamari.com, connect with me on LinkedIn, or check out my free resources and quizzes at aishamari.com/resources.